Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Scatter Together, wherever you are. Should you be part of the Beaver family and you're sitting at home or you're watching this on your phone somewhere, if you're a friend or a family member who's joining us from some other part of the world or some other part of Belfast or wherever, we want you all to feel very much part of our family today. And as a family, if you're watching this live, you can join in down the side by leaving messages there. There is a prayer room if you want to ask for a prayer request or even join in praying with somebody. That can all be done in there. There should have been announcements at the start, and they will scroll again at the end, telling you about some of the things maybe happening this week. We're about to go into Holy Week. And in Holy Week, we will be continuing with some activities and some things that we can do together. There will be a theme for each day. So there's some activity with that you can join in with when you're out on your walk or exercising or around your house, however you want to interpret it. But wait and see what that is. We'll continue with our 6 o'clock candle lighting every evening. And then later on the evening, around 9 o'clock, there will be a late evening moment for us together right in this space. It'll be on here where you saw this. And you'll be able to join in with that right through Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday in Beaver usually involves a procession. There's going to be one in just a few moments. So get ready for that. I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure how it's working. But it is going to happen. And then Catherine is going to share with us some thoughts today about something that we can be doing while all this service is going on for all the family involved in that. So this is a really big week in the life of church. But it's a great big week, very important week, possibly a very difficult week in the life of our community. And by community, we mean as wide as possible. All sorts of people, our own families and friends, but way beyond us and our city and the towns that we live in and our nation, and perhaps even wider than that in our world. And the whole thing just meets together in these moments. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as our father, as our parent, as the head of our family, because as your children gathered here or in this service and gathered way beyond this, and as the family of the whole of humankind, we're crying out to you today to hear our cries, to let us hear your voice, to let us know your strength filling us again, restoring our faith, lifting our eyes to look outwards and upwards. And even in these moments, may we just sense your presence very specially with us. Amen. Now let's go straight back to our Palm Sunday theme, and we're handing over to you, Chris, to take us wherever our procession is going to take us. So Chris, thank you.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to our living room. One of the features of our living room is that Susan and I have this blank wall. Doesn't look like much. We use it for cinema nights. We project movies onto the big white wall. But this morning, I thought we could use it to do what we're all dreaming about at the minute. In a virtual way, we can use it to travel. So at the minute, I'm talking to you from my living room, but we can pretend that I am saying hello from the Colosseum in Rome, waving from the top of a Norwegian mountain,
or from the Eiffel Tower,
or
from the seat of a roller coaster, or from the bottom of the ocean, or from a beautiful tropical island.
So then the thought struck me, why not come somewhere a little bit closer to home? Where would we all love to be this morning? Not a desert island, but just down the road in Beaver. It's Palm Sunday, and this is the day where we usually meet down the estate with a donkey and have our Palm Sunday procession up to church. So let the desert island disappear. I've got a better idea.
We can't meet here in person this year, but thanks to the wonders of technology,
I can pop up and say hello to everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
And we can virtually get together here down at the square in Beaver.
Thanks to Google Street View, we can even take a little look around us. We can even do our Palm Sunday procession All we need is a donkey. And funny enough, look who I just found. So, let's do it. Get your virtual walking shoes on and we'll start down at Drumart Square and make our way through Beaver towards the church with our donkey in tow. We're not going too fast, are we, donkey? Good, you're keeping a good pace. Keep up there, donkey. So we'll stop for a moment to wave hello to our friends at the Presbyterian Church. And then make sure you're very careful turning out onto Dunseverick Avenue. Well, good thing it's a decent day for a walk. We need to be careful now, there's lots of grass along here to distract the donkey.
Come on, donkey, don't get stuck in the grass. Come on.
And oh, is that the steeple of Beaver Parish I see on the horizon? I think our journey is nearly at an end.
Well done, donkey. You are a mighty steed.
So let's virtually go on into church. Oh, let's look forward to the day. What a day it will be when we're able to do this for real once again. And now, as we get ready for our Palm Sunday service, Lydia and Connor are going to demonstrate some craft activities that you can do during the service.
What are we making today?
Palm leaves.
Lydia, what do you do first?
You draw around your hand.
How many times?
Twice.
Is that tricky?
Yeah.
Because that's with your wrong hand?
Yeah.
You're doing very well. Connor, what are you doing?
I'm cutting.
And what are you going to do with that?
Stick it on my hand.
Oh, like on your cardboard hands?
Yeah.
Lydia, what are you doing now? Very nice. And what are you going to do with them then?
I'm
going to
cut them out.
Okay. Okay. Good stuff. We'll come back to you in a minute.
Okay.
What have you got on your paintbrush?
Gluing.
And you're gluing your green paper down?
Yes.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Okay, Connor, what have you done?
I'm going to cut my hands out and then paint some more details of
more
shades of green on it.
That sounds good. You've got your paints there as well, all ready to go. Lydia, what have you done now?
I've cut my hands out and now I'm going to stick them together and then I'm going to paint on some more detail.
That sounds really good. What are you going to do?
I'm going to paint other shades of green on
to
my hands.
Very nice.
Thanks, Catherine. I don't have my sellotape and scissors and everything handy with me right at the moment, but I'm going to give that a wee go later on. So let's see what's happening next. I think we're going to sing together. And we're singing 10,000 Reasons. And last week it was great, wasn't it? Eric and Michelle leading us in our music. So we're going to pop over to the Hudsons again and we're going to sing this song. And amazingly, the words are going to come up on the screen as well. So, Eric and Michelle, over to you to lead us in worship. And let's, whether you're singing or if you're a bit embarrassed, maybe with family around you, just even thinking through these words and going with the thoughts that are in this hymn, this song, as we sing this together. Let's sing that.
Oh, Thank you for leading us in worship. Now it's time for the Bible reading, which is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, reading from verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thanks, Rolly. And now we're going to travel to a little house in Green Island and check in with this agent.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bennett Homestead. It's Palm Sunday. It's a lovely spring day. So I thought that we could have our Palm Sunday thoughts during a little dander down into the garden. So first of all, I want to introduce you to Susan's little teeny tiny car, which you've maybe seen us zooming and buzzing around in, arriving at Beaver. This wee thing is a flying machine. It's a great wee yoke. Our vehicle was not always something quite as speedy as this. Susan and I, our very first car was a Mini Metro, not an Austin Metro or a Rover Metro, as they later became, but a proper rusty Mini Metro. The Metro eventually, sadly, died and went to Metro heaven because the man at the MOT told us that the entire car was being held together by the carpet. But the thing I'll never forget about the Metro is our first drive in it, the first day we set off in it, we actually inherited the car from Susan's brother, Stephen, who had given it to us, having fitted it with a massive honking great stereo system and a big No Fear sticker across the back window. So Susan and I got into our very first car, fired up the stereo, some real proper beats. Our parents came out to wave us off, and I had this vision of us screaming away down the road, leaving kind of flaming tire tracks behind us, you know, like the car in Back to the Future. So I revved the engine, floored the throttle, and then I discovered, and only then, that the Mini Metro had this feature that if you tried to accelerate too hard, the engine kind of got a little bit stressed, and rather than screaming off into the distance, it did this kind of bunny hop thing where it kind of lurched slowly up the road. And I think I remember looking in the rear view mirror, and our parents were still waving, and they were still waving, and they were still waving 10 minutes later by the time we eventually bunny hopped our way around the corner. So I tell you that story because I often think on Palm Sunday that Jesus arriving in Jerusalem on the back of the colt of a donkey chose a mode of transport not unlike our Mini Metro. That of all of the ways that he could have arrived, he could have had a mighty steed, a stallion, a warhorse, to arrive on the back of a baby donkey. I can't but think that it must have looked kind of funny. Surely his feet were trailing on the ground. It must have looked a little bit comic. In every way, the visual of it, the kind of optics of it, must have given the crowds the impression that this was a very strange, very unusual, a very humble king arriving on the back of a donkey. So what's going on here? Because the reading makes clear that this isn't an accident that it happened this way. You know, there's a kind of a sense of the miraculous in the way the disciples are told to go ahead and they'll find the donkey and the foal. You know, this is all part of a plan. And Matthew's gospel makes very clear that it's a fulfillment of prophecy as well. So even though it might have looked a little bit daft, this is all part somehow of God's plan. So it makes me wonder, is the donkey, is it part of a sort of an expectation management? You know, maybe quite a lot of those people in the crowd cheering for Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, they had the expectation of a quick fix. And so is the donkey a way of just really simply in a really visual way saying, this is not your quick fix. The quick fix the people wanted was that they were an oppressed people. They felt that they were under the jackboot of Roman occupation, and they wanted Jesus to be this kind of military messiah who would rise them up and free them from their hated oppressors. And I wonder if, as they watched Jesus make his slow and slightly comic way into Jerusalem, they were starting to realise there's no quick fix in this situation. So what a weird and wonderful thing that the God of heaven and earth would voluntarily, willingly make himself look like a little bit of an Egypt to help people understand that he's not here as a military messiah. He's not here to fix the political problems or the specific problems of one group of people at one point in time. He's here as a humble king. He's here as a servant king. He's here focused on the destination of the cross to make a difference, not just for one people and one time, but for all people, for all times. Another thing I love about this picture of Jesus arriving on the donkey is that there's nothing kind of show-offy or spectacular about it. Philip Yancey has this brilliant thing contrasting the arrival of Jesus, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, with the kind of triumphal entry that would have been usual for Roman citizens at that time as they saw their emperor arrive back from the battlefield. So again and again, Jesus seems to resist that kind of signs and wonders, hero worship kind of ministry. Goes right back to his temptation in the wilderness. If you remember right back at the start of his ministry, the devil tempts him to throw himself off the highest building, be caught by angels, spectacular, amazing, crowd goes wild. How could people not follow him after that? But Jesus refuses that temptation. And again, you have that repeated beat right the way through the Gospels that when Jesus heals somebody, he asks them not to tell anybody about it. And when the crowd starts to kind of spread the word and they all get very excited and they all start following him, hoping to witness another miracle, he keeps withdrawing and running away. He's really uncomfortable with that kind of sort of shallow hero worship kind of follower. So there's no "you must" on Palm Sunday. What a weird and wonderful thing that the God of heaven and earth would leave us that free choice. He chooses not to sort of bludgeon us into obedience with signs and wonders, with the spectacular. He's the opposite of all those Roman victory parades full of sound and fury and pomp and circumstance. He doesn't want us to be impressed or coerced into obedience. He wants us to want to follow him. And one final little thought from out here amongst my beautiful daffs, and the daffodils are a good illustration of it, and it is this: what a difference a week makes. Some of you maybe saw I was out here just a couple of days ago on the Daily Candle video, and since then some more daffodils have blossomed, some have started to fade. What a difference a week makes. And oh my goodness, do we all know the truth of that at the minute? We're still all kind of reeling with the head-spinning changes in the world over this last week or two. How long ago is it now that we were all last in church, eating breakfast, chatting to our friends, praying with one another? All seemed normal, and now we're all having to get used to a completely transformed reality. And it's not the first time that everything changes in a week from Palm Sunday. Can you imagine what a head-spinning transformation it must have been to have gone from the hallelujahs and hosannas of Palm Sunday to betrayal, to trial, to crucifixion, to all of the pain of Good Friday? And then another transformation, again from despair and desolation to the joy of Easter Sunday. And the amazing thing is, it's the same people that go through the whole thing. The disciples who are following behind Jesus on the donkey on Palm Sunday are the same disciples who just a few days later run away and desert him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we don't know for this for sure, but we do possibly presume that some of that same crowd who were cheering and throwing the palm branches on Palm Sunday were the same crowd who were shouting for the release of Barabbas, who were shouting crucify him just a couple of days later. And there's a challenge in this.
When the world flips upside down, do we flip with it? When we welcome Jesus this Palm Sunday, when we welcome the humble King that doesn't try to promise us any quick fixes and doesn't try to force his way into our lives and hearts with spectacular signs and wonders.
When we welcome that Jesus into our hearts, is there something so much more steady and so much more solid that roots us, deeply roots us through all of the changes and transformations that are happening all around us? So, Palm Sunday. Some of you guys have been working away on your palms the whole time that I've been blathering away. Time to use them. Hold up your palms, wave them in the air. The palm branches were a symbol of welcome. They were a way of saying, welcome, Jesus. So if you've got your palm leaves now, hold them up and wave them, and we will welcome Jesus, each and every one of us, into our hearts and into our homes. And if you haven't been making one of the palms from paper and card, you still have palms. You still have two of them. So again, just raise up your palms, hold out your palms as a physical symbol of saying, welcome, welcome Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus, into our hearts, into our lives, into our homes, into our families, into our worries, into our fears. On this Palm Sunday, we welcome you, Jesus. And so we're now going to sing over to Michelle and Eric again, who are going to lead us into that fabulous Robin Mark hymn, Jesus, All for Jesus, a hymn of welcoming Jesus into our lives. And I especially love that line, all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of our ambitions, hopes and plans have gone by the wayside over the last couple of weeks. All of our ambitions of what we would be doing on Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday or any other day are all up in the air. But all of these things, we welcome you, Jesus. We surrender these things into your hands.
And then
Thank you. Thank you, Rolly, for reading the scriptures to us. Thanks, Chris, for leading us, for drawing us back into the events of Palm Sunday, and for so carefully leading us towards that celebration with our palms as well. And thank you too to Eric and Michelle and Eric, for playing and singing in that order, and for leading us in our worship there. We come now to that time when there are things in our hearts, the anxieties, the fears, the wondering where we're going as a nation, as a community and everything else. So we want to turn to God. And we're going to do that in prayer. And Gillian, thank you for agreeing to lead us this morning. So let's just settle our hearts and our minds a wee bit, and we'll cut across straight to you, Gillian, now to lead us in our intercessions.
Dear God, on this Palm Sunday, we thank you for sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you for what this day stands for, the beginning of Holy Week, the start of the journey towards the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is our King of Kings. We pray for our church, especially in this time of uncertainty. We pray for Adrian and Janice, Chris and Susan, Paul and Ruth, for Rodney, Olivia, and Catherine and family. We give thanks for their ministry and for the gifts and talents you have blessed them with. Thank you for the creative ways they are discovering to serve our congregation, scattered yet together. Encourage them, Lord, during radical changes to the patterns of daily life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bring to you the needs of the world. Never has there been a more urgent time to care for the orphan, the widow, the lonely, the oppressed, the refugees. We pray for our vulnerable populations, for the homeless, protect them from disease, for Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially in areas with high rates of infection. Provide them with words of hope and equip them to love and serve those around them. For business leaders making difficult decisions that affect the lives of their employees, God, give them wisdom and help them lead self-sacrificially. For college and university students whose course of study are changing, placements cancelled, and graduations uncertain, God, show them that while life is uncertain, their trust is in you. We pray for the young and the strong. Give them the necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading this disease. Inspire them to help. For families with young children at home for the foreseeable future, help parents to partner together creatively for the care and flourishing of their children. The world is leaning into perspective, prayers and hope. May we become the answer, the life they are looking for. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for frontline healthcare workers, giving thanks for their vocational call to serve us. God, keep them safe and healthy. Help them to be knowledgeable about the diagnosis and treatment of this disease, as well as the changing protocols. Help them to stay clear-minded in the midst of the surrounding panic. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all workers in shops, for those in food production, for delivery staff, for the food banks and their volunteers, for teachers in schools looking after the children of key workers. So many people, Lord, keeping our country going. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you understand people's fears and pain before they speak of them. We pray for those in hospital at this time. Surround the frightened with your tenderness. Give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak in your arms of love, and give hope and patience to those whose illness is long term. We pray for those in need of regular therapies, clinics and treatments that may now be postponed. God, help them to stay patient and positive, and may they hear your whispered assurances. We pray for the isolated, the lonely at this difficult time. May they remember that they are not alone, that you are with them. You see every tear, hear every sigh, and are present in every moment. May their worries for the future be lifted from their hearts and held in God's gracious hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our hearts and prayers go out to all who mourn the loss of those they have loved. Have mercy on those who feel numb and crushed and whose strength has given up. When grief seems never ending, may the wonder of your cross be their meditation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust to you, Lord, those times when we can see only shadows and lose sight of the hope to come. The times when suffering seems so senseless, life so fragile, and death so permanent. Bless us with the assurance that you are in all things. You are in this unprecedented time, the tragic and the beautiful, the nightmare and the dream, the light and the darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May we find life in this new desert, beauty in the barrenness, and like the daffodils, may we flourish wherever we are planted. May we be an Easter people with an unshakable hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Gillian, for leading us in our prayers there. And thank you to everybody who's taken part this morning, and for everybody back home that you've been joining in with. And please feel free to share the links and everything with other people. This can be watched in the days to come. You don't have to have seen it right now. It can be watched from the website or from Facebook. So thank you now for everything that's been happening, and we'll see you off and on during Holy Week as best we can, and continue to meet in your WhatsApp groups and sharing those texts and prayer requests with one another. I think there is quite a week ahead for all of us. When I finish now, there will be some things scrolling there and some of the announcements, but feel free also just to continue to chat and greet one another and spend a wee bit of time here before we all rush off to sort out dinner in whatever way that is. But go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Amen.